This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
We're gonna check, Nibo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. Finishing off another hectic week. It's Thursday. We've got Double Housewives recaps, these Wednesday back-to-backs. Kicking our ass this week, just like they have for the last few weeks. But first, we have some news to get to. Some sad news, at least to me, in the Bravo world. Yesterday, on social media, Taylor Armstrong sharing the news that she will not be returning to Real Housewives of Orange County for season 18. I told myself I wasn't going to cry. Pulling it together, she said, "Loved spending time with the ladies of RHOC. Thankful I got to give the viewers an update on my life. I've made some real friendships that I cherish. Wishing the ladies all the best for season 18. P.S. Adding season 17 to my IMDb." What a class act. What a treasure. This came as a surprise to me only because I felt like last season of Orange County just worked so well. And so I sort of just assumed without really thinking about it that much that, yeah, probably everyone will be back. And I think everyone else will be back or at least will be invited back. This, you know, suggests to me that they're about to start filming again. This is usually when people make their kind of decisions and announcements and, you know, framing devices of staying on the show or coming back to the show or whatever. So I thought Taylor was kind of the perfect seasoning to the Housewives cast. Like, she wasn't last season a main player, a key ingredient of the recipe, but I just thought her presence, her being there, added like a fun extra sort of unexpected flavor that overall made the final product just a little bit more fun. And so I'm a little bit disappointed that she's not going to be back next season. I don't know if this is a contract thing, if it was her choice. She did get a lot of nice comments on her post. Andy said, "Bravo, Taylor," with some hearts. Heather said, "You will be missed." Tamara said, "No," with a crying face. "You will be missed, Taylor. Hashtag friends forever." And Jen Pedranti said, "I love you so much." It's nice to see, whatever the circumstance is of her not returning to the show, it's nice to see that she really is a part of the group on a friendship level. And I hope we get to see Taylor again in some way, shape, or fashion. I don't know if Housewives is going to be the thing for her. You know, I thought she was great on the girls' trip in the Berkshires. That was kind of our big reintroduction to her, and I thought it was such a welcome surprise. If you've heard me talk about the show, you know that I was really into Taylor on that season, and that kind of precipitated her return to, or not her return to Orange County, her arrival on Orange County. But the bigger question is, what does this mean for season 18? Like I said, this would suggest that they are kind of in the final phases of getting the cast together. I'm not expecting any big changes in terms of last season's cast, except I think the big question marks are, what, if anything, will happen with Vicky Gonvalson? And might we have a return of Alexis Bellino? This is something, it could be nothing, but I do feel like now this is sort of the second season in a row where there have been these kind of whisperings about something may be happening with Alexis. I know Heather has said multiple times that Alexis would be kind of her choice of who to bring back of anyone that's been on the show. She made an appearance at BravoCon to present Vicky with her award. She's been sort of hitting the circuit of events, kind of. She was at Kathy Hilton hosted a big DirecTV party earlier this week for the holidays. And there were a lot of Bravo Lebs there, but it was like Emily Simpson, Sheena was there, Crystal was there. Crystal like hosted a pre-party, I think. Kim Richards was there, Kyle, obviously. Mary Cosby was there. It was sort of a strange assortment, to be honest. But Teresa was there. There were a few faces that kind of were more surprising than the others. And I think that Alexis is sort of on that list where I do feel like there has been a little bit of a shift where a year ago, 2 years ago, I don't think she would have been getting invited to Bravo adjacent events like that. I mean, BravoCon, of course, was a specific circumstance, but I don't think she kind of was in the public consciousness, and now she really has reappeared, resurfaced, and I'm happy about it. I hope that I think she would be a great friend of, at least on the show, and so I think that would be kind of a good addition to the Orange County tapestry, if you will, but I'm very curious to see what happens there. Vicky also has said publicly, I think she said at BravoCon, when asked about season 18 and beyond, that she is never coming back to the show as anything but a full-time housewife again. So she's not going to be a friend. She's not going to be a guest. She's not going to be, you know, moral support for Tamara and Shannon. She seems like she is at a place where at least right now she's saying it's all or nothing. And I'm very curious to see kind of how the powers that be at Bravo really feel about that. Because I know that Vicky has a lot of fans. I know that there are people who feel like Orange County will never be complete without Vicky Gunvalson holding an orange. And I respect that point of view. I don't really feel the same. I thought that this past season was on a really good groove, even before Vicky was in the picture. So I don't know. I'm very curious to see what happens. I'm excited for them to start filming again. I thought this past season was really great. And all indications are that they're going to be on a good track of success for next year. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. I guess we should talk about Beverly Hills, huh? A 75-minute episode. One of our signature now dinner parties from hell. A lot of familiar faces coming back in the door. How funny that the same day that we're talking about Taylor departing Bravo once again, we have an episode of Beverly Hills where Camille's coming through the door, Faye is there, Denise is back in the fray, Cynthia Bailey is making an appearance, we have a new housewife, Anne-Marie. Okay, I need some clarification. Are we doing Anne-Marie, or is it Anna-Marie? Because to me, like, her name is Anne, it's Anne-Marie. Like, it's spelled A-N-N-E-M-A-R-I-E. That is Anne-Marie. But Sutton, and I think Crystal, both, it sounds like they're saying Anna-Marie. So I'm going to need to clear that up, because I don't know. This is going to bother me. And I suppose I should see if I can find like a video of her pronouncing her own name. But Anna Marie is in the picture now. The introduction that she gets is interesting. We haven't really had one of these in a while where the season is off to the races. We've had, I think this is the sixth episode of the season, and it's felt like a complete group with no mention or no inkling that there is another person kind of on the way. And so, cut to Kyle's party, it really is just like, oh, here's my friend Anna Marie, and now we're going to speak about her as if she's part of the group. And I always wonder when they do this with Housewives, I don't know specifically for Aunt, God, I want to say Anna Marie, but I don't know if that's her name. I don't know in her case specifically if there was some contract reason that she that wasn't ready by the time they started filming, so she came in later, or if it was casting saying we need something else. It's a strange thing. It hasn't happened very often. It reminds me of on Beverly Hills back in season 6 or 7 when Catherine Edwards joined the show like halfway through a season, and then she didn't come back for another season. So it really was like she existed in Housewives for approximately 6 months of calendar time, and then we never heard from her again. Obviously, it's way too soon to say whether Anne Marie will be similarly one and done or less than one and done as Catherine Edwards. I mean, famously, Sonia Morgan was also a mid-season addition. So, I mean, you really can't read too much into it. But the introduction that she gets, Kyle is like, this is my friend, Anne Marie. She's a newer friend. And she's like, oh, she's great. Kyle immediately enlists her to serve as an example that she's not working out more than a normal amount. She's like, how many days a week do you work out? She's like, I don't know, 6 or 7. She's like, great. Can you tell Sutton that? Like, Anne Marie has not even met Sutton. can we pump the brakes just a little bit on like strategizing with the new girl about how to make your frenemy look bad? But then Crystal comes in the door, and Crystal clearly knows her as well. And in the confessional, she's like, I don't know her super well. But I know that she talks a lot and she asks a lot of questions. Yeah, she's a nosy bitch. This is very intriguing to me because for Crystal to be like, yeah, I barely know her, but what I do know about her is that she's like nosy and obnoxious. Like, tell me more, say more things, keep talking, keep going. So we don't get a ton of Anne Marie. Obviously, this is a big, chaotic group scene, and she gets her nose in there a little bit. I'll get to that in a few minutes, but I'm really interested to see over the next handful of episodes kind of how Anne Marie assimilates into the group, because it does feel strange. It does feel like sort of a thing that doesn't happen anymore, where they just kind of plop somebody in mid-season. I'm sure we'll get to meet her husband, who has some views that I don't feel great about, but we will see where that goes. I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe, and you're making like that mental checklist of, if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, what would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want. With tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preference, every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
But earlier in the episode, of course, the name on everybody's lips is Morgan Wade, because we get our first look at the air quotes friendship heard round the world, Kyle and Morgan. Where to begin? This is tricky for me, because one of my least favorite things, really, and I mean this, is speculating about someone's sexuality. Like, as a gay person, I don't find it to be like a pleasurable activity. I don't know. But all I can say is that we are being presented with a relationship of two people, and we are being told one thing, and what we are seeing doesn't feel like it is the same as what we were being told, or is maybe not the full version of what we're being told. Like, when Kyle is saying, Morgan is my close friend, we talk every day, you know, we met because I was obsessed with how talented she was, and so I was stalking her, and then I came to see her show, and Morgan's like, oh yeah, she was stalking me. Like, it feels so bizarre. We have known Kyle Richards on Housewives, in our TV screens, for close to 15 years at this point. And we are being presented with this story and this version of, this is this woman that you've never seen before. I've never talked about before until the last few weeks when they've been filming this season. But I am telling you now that she is one of my dearest friends in the world, and she gets me like nobody else, and we talk every day. And it's like, then why are you acting on camera like there's an elephant in the... It just feels like there's something... There's like... It feels like they're performing something that is not their normal vibe, because if this was their normal vibe, they seem so uncomfortable around each other. And it's like, if this is your normal vibe, then you would hang out once and be like, well, that was awkward, we probably aren't gonna hang out again. So I just have to think that when the cameras aren't there, whether it's a romantic thing or a sexual thing, or just a maybe Morgan is not comfortable with the Bravo cameras, that's fine. I just can't believe, like, I don't believe that this is how they act around each other when nobody's watching. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't feel accurate. Like, it doesn't feel like we're being presented with the authentic version of their friendship, relationship, whatever. And then, you know, Kyle going home afterward, or maybe not directly afterward, because, honey, that tattoo did not look fresh. Like, when you get a tattoo on your stomach, you're not going home and being like, look at my tattoo. It's rubbing up on my jeans with no bandage or anything. No, it's not wrapped or anything. I don't have to put cream on it. It doesn't look red. It doesn't look swollen. Like, I don't even have tattoos, and I know that's not what a tattoo looks like 30 minutes after you get it. But anyway, Mauricio and Kyle just seem worse than they've ever been. Like, it feels like Mauricio has been told or feels that he still needs to sort of be performing husband. But Kyle doesn't seem to be performing wife. And she doesn't seem to be like receptive to him performing husband. So it's just a strange, strange vibe. He's like, baby, did you read my book? And she's like, I'll get to it. I'm pretty sure Meredith Marks has read more of Bad Mormon than Kyle has read of Mauricio's book. Heck, I'm pretty sure Lisa Barlow has read more of Bad Mormon than Kyle read of Mauricio's book. It's just weird. And the way he's talking about the tattoos and acting like he cares, but then also being like, oh, well, I hope I get to see it more. Hubba hubba. Like, there just seems to be such a disconnect between, it's like either Kyle is in such an emotionally stunted place right now where all of her interactions are this like weird glazed over missed connection, or she's being so uptight about not showing us exactly what's happening. But either way, it's uncomfortable to watch. It isn't satisfying to watch because it feels like there is just this, it's like you have a puzzle and you're missing the most important piece. Like, it just feels like you're missing like the, like when there's a code and there's like the one, like the key or like the index or whatever that shows you how to break the code. It's like Kyle's not giving us that key right now. And I don't know exactly what the, you know, uncoded message is, but I know that what I'm seeing isn't it. And it's a weird experience to watch because on the other hand, then you have Sutton and a little bit Garcelle who are noticing things, wondering things, asking about things. And it does feel like with Kyle and Sutton, like when Sutton pulls Kyle aside at her house and is like, so I don't think it's like us to fight like that. So I just feel like you're not being fully honest, Kyle. Like, I get that Sutton is probably not going about it in the way that is going to connect best with Kyle, but also I get why Sutton feels like Kyle is acting weird. And, you know, the wedding ring and all that stuff, it's like, it's a little bit neither here nor there. Like, as somebody who is not married and doesn't particularly care about, like, the institution of marriage, it's like, yeah, whatever. I mean, even Erica was like, oh, I didn't wear my ring for years. Who cares? But, like, on the other hand, it does seem like Kyle kind of has this veil around the full truth of what's going on in her life. So, like, is Sutton really going to get the best answers out of her when it's immediately before everybody's sitting down for dinner and she has guests at her house? Of course not. I mean, that's just kind of like housewifery, that it's like, well, we're going to have this conversation now. But I do, when they sit down at the table, finally, after everybody's like, is Kyle coming to this dinner? Can we eat? They're waiting for their cannabis-infused food, which, by the way, so they're doing the THC dinner. Bravo has come a long way. Remember a few years ago when Tamra threw a whole Vena CBD party and then they cut it from the season because they, like, weren't comfortable with marijuana? Now we got THC dinners. We've got Adriana sobbing through a ketamine treatment. Who cares? You know, maybe if they redid the early seasons of Vanderpump Rules these days, maybe we wouldn't have to say pasta. Am I right? But yeah, sitting down at this dinner, Crystal, my girl, stepping up to the plate and saying, wait, yeah, I walked in on this. I walked in on this heated thing you were having. What was that? That is what we need. That is the energy that we need. Crystal does it. And then after Kyle and Sutton are sort of going back and forth about the working out and the eating and the weirdness of all of that, Anna Marie, whatever her name is, she steps up to the plate too. She cuts in and says, can I just say, I love the energy of like, okay, so I don't know any of the backstory here. I don't have a fucking clue what's going on. But can I just say, you guys are acting weird. And if you are actually friends with each other, you should be able to say what you mean, because right now you're saying nothing. You're tiptoeing around, you're beating around the bush, and that's not going to accomplish anything. And if you're real friends, say what you mean. And Sutton still kind of can't do it. She's like, well, no, I just, you know, with your personal life, like what you're going through. And Garcelle then, this is really a team effort to get us from point A to point B. Garcelle's like, her marriage, the ring. What's going on with the ring? So finally, after Crystal picks up the ball and then passes it to Anne-Marie, and then Garcelle, you know, makes the play, we finally get to the crux of the issue, which is that Sutton and kind of Garcelle are wondering if something happened in the marriage and if maybe Mauricio cheated on Kyle and got her a makeup band. Garcelle says she has a diamond cross. Camille's like, oh, I used to get cars. I got an Aston Martin. Oh, God. Camille and Denise. What a. We're going to get more of that next week, I'm pretty sure. So I'm not too concerned on unpacking the Denise of it all right now, because trust and believe we will get there. But it's such an interesting conversation. Kyle says that she bought herself the ring. And then she kind of fixates on that for the rest of the conversation, that she's very angry about the idea that she can't wear new jewelry and that this must be some gift from Mauricio, and they're analyzing blah, 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 in a way that feels like it's sort of deflecting from the true question at hand, which is, what is going on in the marriage? Ring aside, you know, working out aside, what's the sitch? And, you know, Kyle feels like she's been really honest at this retreat. They keep calling it a retreat. I'm like, you guys were there for an hour. To me, retreat is like a full day or like an overnight. Is that wrong? I don't know. But she feels like she's already shared about her marriage going through a tough time. And so that then it is shitty of Sutton and Garcelle to try and dig any deeper and to ask more questions than that. But I think, I mean, we all watched that scene with Kyle and Morgan, and then the scene with Kyle and Mauricio. It's not normal. However good or bad or cheating or not or whatever, this isn't just like a couple who's going through a little bit of a rut and needs a little bit of work. And obviously we know now that they're separated. Both of them are like slipping up and using the D word a few too many times, but they're adamant that they're not getting divorced. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. Let's talk about Miami. Because we get a to be continued on Beverly Hills. So we'll have more chances to talk about that dinner. Oh, that dinner. Wait, real quick. Faye and Camille both realizing that their place cards are directly across from each other. And Camille's like, oh, God, great. Faye is sitting across from me. And then Faye just takes it upon herself to move the place card, because she's like, I have no desire to speak to that woman. I love that their grudge is going strong for like 12 years. That's so important to me. Like, if Faye and Camille ever like sat down and broke bread, I think that might be like the closest we could get to world peace. But they're not on a show together, so it's never going to happen. Okay, sorry. Miami. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
I am so happy that warmer weather is finally back and we can get back to enjoying some time in the sun. But the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring May flowers and also sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I have had seasonal allergies for pretty much my entire life. Unfortunately, there are definitely those days where I have canceled my plans because I simply just don't want to be out in the world because of my allergies. But luckily, Claritin is the perfect thing that you can just take at the beginning of the day, and it really helps with all of those symptoms, clearing up your eyes, clearing up your sinuses, clearing up your congestion. It's the easiest way to just get those allergies under control, whether it's in the spring, any other time of year, and it's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has 2 powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
Well, it happened. Larsa's digging herself even deeper. She's got her Pippin Jordan shovel, and she's getting as low as she possibly can. It's just not good. It's not good for her right now. Because aside from what we already know, which is that she broke Gertie's trust and told everyone loudly about the breast cancer diagnosis, then she doesn't feel bad about it later. Gertie finds out, of course. She says that she was testing Larsa. Larsa's like, what do you mean a test? What do you mean test? She hears this from Lisa. So then she calls Nicole and is like, does Gertie really have cancer? Because she's talking about something, test. I don't know what. So am I to think that when Lisa said that Gertie said that she was testing Larsa with this information, she really thought that it was like fake information solely for the purpose of deducing whether Larsa was trustworthy? Oh God, it's not good for Larsa either way, because if that is what happened and she really thought that Gertie was lying to her as a test, then Gertie's going to be pissed off that that Larsa thinks she would be capable of that. And if she didn't think that was the case, then she's an even worse friend because she knew that it was real and told them anyway. Like, either way, there's no, the test thing aside, like, maybe that was like an inelegant thing for Gertie to say. There's no justification for Larsa's behavior. And the fact that at Julia's opera party at the end of the episode, Gertie is a little cold toward Larsa and Larsa's acting like she doesn't know what's going on or like where that could be coming from. It's like, babe, think. Use your brain. Like, ugh. It's tough to watch, honestly, because Larsa is somebody where I don't know that I've ever been like a true fan of her in the sense of I love her and I love everything that she's doing. But I've enjoyed her a lot on the show and I've thought that she brings something valuable to the show. And I've been surprised, honestly, how much I think she's brought to the show in the last few seasons. But this is just a situation where it's less about what you're bringing to the table on Housewives. And it's more about, like, can you think about being a good friend for a second? And I think the answer is no, because we also see this episode. Kiki is struggling with her relationship with Larsa. Because she feels that when Larsa was single, the two of them were great friends. They would talk all the time. They would go out all the time. They would have fun together. And Larsa was like her girl. And now she's with Marcus. And she feels like Larsa only wants to hang out with Marcus. She doesn't think about Kiki. She doesn't check in on Kiki. She doesn't really like seem to care. And the normal thing to happen would be, if you were a friend and you voiced that, if your friend cares about you, they should be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I would hate for you to feel that way. Of course I care about you. Let's plan a girls' night. Let's go to dinner. Let's get lunch, just the two of us. Let's catch up. How are you? Let me be there for you. I want to make sure that I'm making you feel seen and heard. Not only does Larsa not do that, she does the exact opposite. Because when they're at this yacht party for, I guess it's for Formula One. This yacht party is the only mention of Formula One. And I'm like, are we at F1 or not? Like, okay. But they're at this yacht party. It's Kiki, it's Lisa, it's Larsa. And Lisa and Larsa both show up with their guys. And Kiki's like, oh my God, I didn't know Jody and Marcus were coming. I thought it was just going to be the three of us. And in her confessional, Larsa, she says, at this point, she's past the point of just hanging out with her friends. She did that for 5 years. And she says, at this point, Kiki needs to find a boyfriend if she wants to enjoy these nights out. Because she wants to be with Marcus. That is such a callous thing to say about anyone, but especially about somebody that you have been a good friend with. Like, first of all, like if Kiki wants a man, I hope she finds a man. But this is sort of like Potomac territory that we've gotten into where it's like you're shaming somebody for being single. Like, I always hate that. But like, just on a friend level, it's like being so dismissive of her feeling a way that I think most people can relate to, because honestly, unless if you're the person in the friend group who always has a boyfriend, that's fine. But most other people at least are going through some periods of singleness in their adult life. And it is so common to feel like people are valuing their relationships more than they're valuing their friends and shifting priorities. I get it. It's tough. But like, to see Larsa just be so dismissive of that was really, it just sucked. And I hope that she kind of can crack through that. I hope that Kiki can, get more out of Larsa or find some better friends otherwise. But it's just too bad. It's a shame. I don't know. Alexi and Todd, I feel like they're painting themselves into a weird, stupid corner too. Like, they can't get their story straight about Todd skipping this premiere party and whether it's all Adriana's fault or whether, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. That whole situation is weird. Marisol skips Julia's fuck cancer party for Martina only because it's at Adriana's house. I'm sorry. There's no ambiguity there. Julia's calling her on the phone. She seems like she's ready to come. And then she's like, oh, it's at Adriana's house. I have a medical procedure that day, actually. And I think I need to go lay down. It's like, all right. Julia's nice. She gives her the benefit of the doubt, but it's like, girl, you're getting played. And then just to end on a nice note, Adriana doing that ketamine treatment. If you had asked me, if you had made me bet money of whether I would get teary-eyed watching Adriana do ketamine for the first time on Real Housewives of Miami, I would have lost that bet because I would have said no. But she's doing this treatment as a way to connect with, you know, what she's been going through and kind of get out of herself a little bit. And she rattles off, first of all, God, I love it. Adriana is so funny because she's rattling off kind of why she's had a tough few years. She's like, I lost my father. I lost my brother. I got divorced. I'm an empty nester. My son moved away. And I've gotten bullied by Alexia and Marisol. Leave it to Adriana to lump in getting bullied by Alexia and Marisol with the death of her father and brother. It's so good. But then the emotions still hit because Julia's there watching as she does this treatment. And she's just like full sobbing. She sees her brother. She sees her dad. Whew. It's so tough. I was thinking recently, one of the things I think Housewives has brought us so many moments over the years of these kind of life experiences that we don't always share. That are common to go through, but people don't always talk about. I think Housewives has been great for that with fertility struggles and, you know, miscarriages and IVF and, you know, just family shit in general, like complicated things with kids and with parents and with family members. And I think an underrated thing also is we've seen a lot of people struggle with the loss of parents. You know, most of the people on these shows are, you know, at the stage of life where you're, you know, in your 30s, 40s, 50s, getting older, your parents are getting older. And that is something that is so real and affects everyone in different ways, but, you know, really profoundly. And seeing Adriana, you know, go through this emotional struggle, she is not somebody on this show who always kind of gets, I think, the most grace in terms of her emotional journey. I think sometimes she does it to herself, but it was just really, it was kind of lovely to see her have that moment. And I don't know why this has come over me with her this week, but man, yeah, I don't know. I just, thank you, Adriana, for letting us in on that little journey. And maybe in the future, Marisol and Alexia will stop bullying you. But that is all for today. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. You can follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. You can follow me at Dylan Hafer. Follow next week. We have lots of exciting stuff coming up. Some really exciting interviews in the works. So I'm excited for you to hear all of that. And as we get into the holiday season, there'll be some fun end of year content too. So make sure you're followed. But until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches.